Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad adders, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. Ooh. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake up should do be. All my friend Nick come around, thought to fight a party, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, the stunts and tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be. Shake it up. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-855-212-4. The number 4, CBS. That's the number. You know, put that on your fridge or your forehead or your arm or a tramp stamp, whatever you got to do. 855-212-4227 to get benched. Brian Katrick will join us from Sirius PGA Radio. Our boy Brian Katrick back on the links at the PGA Championship in St. Louis at Bellerive. Round one in the books, Gary Woodland, who no one's ever heard of, in the lead. He's a big bopper, they call him, a big hitter.
Hope he enjoys his one moment in the sun today.
Carver High already turning on Gary at minus six. Ricky Fowler and Zach Johnson right there behind him. Tiger, rough start, finished even. Will Woodland be around all weekend? Why not? But I don't think he'll win it. I'm rooting for Ricky for once. How's that sound? What do I have to do better this weekend than pull for Ricky? That guy's suffering every major. He never wins. We'll talk to Brian Katrick coming up here in 10 minutes. Rick Haro at 1040 East, 740 West on SportsBiz. 11 Eastern, 8 Vegas time. Chris Swick, Yahoo Sports baseball writer. Live tonight, football like you read about. How great is this? Carver High has been watching. His Bills are down 5 with a minute left. And The Rock, they've got it going on in Orchard. Can they get it done, Carver High? Pretend like it's November. It's a big game right now. A minute left.
Sure, why not? Go get it.
Peterman. He's thrown for 119 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Some guy named Heineken is the quarterback for the Panthers. What a great name to have. I would mobilize that, brand it, make some money. Homeboy marketing.
Both the guys in the first half played well. I was happy. Peterman and A.J. McCarron both played well.
28-23 Panthers right now with a minute left. The Dolphins have stormed back, Carver High, on the Buccaneers. They were getting trounced. It was like what? I mean, they were up like, what, 13-0, something like that?
Excitement for Rick Haro down there at the game?
Whoa, what do we have here? He's at the game tonight at Hard Rock in 100-degree heat. Vietnamese humidity. Respectfully. The Browns are going to win and go to the Super Bowl. Tonight, Baker Mayfield looked fantastic. 212 yards and 2 touchdowns. Running for first down, scrambling, throwing TDs. Great poise, under control. He knew the offense. I didn't think he did anything wrong. I thought he was terrific. And I thought Barkley looked great in his first carry for the Giants, like a 39-yard romp. You know, he waited. Nice patience in the backfield. Waited for the hole to open up. Finally got through it. Shot to the sideline and rock and rolled. Had a stiff arm at the end. I'm telling you, without a doubt, in 3 years, he's going to be the best player on that team, and he's going to break every record they've ever had in the backfield of the New York Football Giants. That guy is a monster talent. His legs, they look like Robert Newhouse's legs. Do you remember that? The guy used to have like tree trunks for legs, played for the Dallas Cowboys. Look it up. I think Barkley, great receiving running back. He can catch the ball, run the ball. But the Giants look atrocious other than Barkley. And after that, he didn't do anything either. But I'm just
atrocious.
Saying. I mean, atrocious. Your boy, what's his name? Webb, the quarterback. Davis Webb. Oh, my God, does he suck. I'm, like, watching it. And remember he was saying just the other day, he goes, McAdoo was going to start me the last four games last year. Yeah, sure he was. Anyway, after what I saw tonight, I hope he never starts. Ever. Anywhere. Like, he just, I mean, throwing, got balls over the guys, sailing passes over the guys' heads. I'm just telling the truth, right? Final now, Panthers win it by 5. Minute 22 left in that game in Miami at Hard Rock. I wish I was there. Steelers smacked the Super Bowl champion Eagles in the face, 31-14. The Bears are down 3 with the ball. Minute 20 left in the Queen City, 30-27. Bengals. Ravens up on the Rams, 26-0. How about the Rams going to win the Super Bowl? They came out tonight and laid an egg. The Patriots have come back on the Redskins. They lead 18-17. They were down 10-0 in this game, and they've come storming back and have the lead with 8 minutes left at Gillette. Titans down 4 to the Packers in Lambeau, 14-10 in the third, 7 minutes left. Texans lead the Chiefs at Arrowhead, 14-7 in the third, early in the third. Whedon for the Texans, Henny for the Chiefs, running the offenses. Colts and Seahawks underway. Andrew Luck now is throwing for 55 yards early on in this game, moments into the game, and he's got 55 yards passing. He's thrown to his Mac twice for 23 yards. We'll keep our eyes on Andrew Luck tonight. Cowboys lead early in Levi against the Niners, 7-0. Dak with a touchdown and 39 yards already. And the extra point, good, up 7-0. Saints beat the Jags 24-20 in Jacksonville. Falcons, Jets are tomorrow. Lions, Raiders as well. Saturday, Vikings, Broncos, and Chargers, Cardinals. Double dips on Friday. Double dips on Saturday. Dez Bryant is once again saying on Twitter he would play for the Browns, but John Dorsey, the GM, says Bryant has not returned any calls. Dez then responded by saying he'd come to Cleveland next week for a visit. Will this ultimately end with Dez Bryant playing for the Browns? Kawhi Leonard breaks his silence and pens a thank you note to the Spurs, Popovich, and the fans in San Antonio. Yawn. Who cares? Why do these guys do this now? Every single guy that leaves somewhere writes these stupid letters to the fans and to the team. And I mean, is there a guy left that doesn't do it? I mean, honestly, what are you, writing novels? Writing memoirs? Biographies? What, I mean, what is next? They're going to do TV shows. That'll be next, TV shows of when guys leave teams and go to new teams. They'll have a 30 for 30 on the transition from one team to another. Every guy that leaves his team or gets traded, they'll start doing documentaries on their emotions.
What he should have did was write a letter explaining what the hell happened last year, because none of that came out in that letter. It was just, thank you, I love you, everything's great, everything was perfect. No, there was a whole lot of trouble between you and Pop, between you and the Spurs, between you and your teammates. What the hell went on?
And he never answered any of it. Football back in the biggest way possible tonight. College football is so close, you can smell it. Tons of pro games tonight, Friday, Saturday. You want the best picks? PharrellOnTheBench.com, baby. Every game, every sport, every day. Baseball, boxing, MMA. No one touches us. Daily fantasy rosters. We rake it in there, too. Cash flow. It's all there. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Go sign up today. It's the cheapest handicapping service with the best results.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. We're on Sirius 206, and this guy's on Sirius PGA Radio. Our longtime legendary buddy and pal, Brian Katrick, the great golf announcer. He's back on the bench to talk about the PGA Championship at Bellerive and Sticky St. Louis. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy? How's your game?
Game is okay, Scotty. It was a two-shirt Thursday. That's how sticky it was walking that golf course today.
It's no joke. At St. Louis, you go to a baseball game, it's like I always say there's no water anywhere. You're not on the beach. There's no lake. There's nothing. It's just hot, and there's nowhere to go except to the Budweiser stand because it's so hot in St. Louis in the summer. It's not even funny. Is it affecting the golf in any way, shape, or form?
Not really. I mean, these guys are used to that. It was hot last week. If anything, the ball's going farther. So this hot, humid air, Hank Haney, who's on the same channel as us, said, hey, that ball goes farther. It's certainly, when it's warm, these guys are hitting it an awful long way. So I actually just saw that the Tiger changed shirts, too, while I was walking with his group. I sweated through one. He sweated through one. So there you go. We probably weren't the only two that did that today.
33 guys, at least, am I right, or something like this, maybe more, that were under par. I think that it's so wet and moist and sticky and just humid that even the putting, I mean, these guys are dropping birdies and putting, like, magically. I'm a little surprised because, you know, the course is so brutal in the outside the fairway that, you know, the trouble's in the rough, as you know, but they're making all these putts, so it doesn't really matter, does it? Like, at some point or another, I think these scores are going to get even lower.
They are. 47 players after the first day were under par, and right now, I mean, it looks like it's going to take probably even par to make this cut. And, you know, major championships, par is usually a good score. The PGA Championship is the most fair of the four. They're the least concerned about score. It's also a major championship that travels around like the British Open and the US Open, so they don't have tons of control of the score. These greens are big, and Kerry Haig can put the holes in some pretty bad spots if he wants to, but he generally doesn't want to. If they want to dial it back, they're expecting these things to get firmer as the weekend goes on. I firmly agree with that. And they can kind of tuck these holes if they want to. So right now they let them play on Thursday. It was soft and it was scoreable, and they let them play. And six unders leading, and only one guy got there. So I don't think they're too worried about it.
So let's talk first about Ricky Fowler. Brian Katrick with us, PGA Radio on SiriusXM. Ricky, I started the show by talking about, like, he's that guy that everybody wants to win a major that hasn't won one. He's the one that we talk about now. Every time there's a major, everybody talks about when's Ricky going to win one. He's kind of that guy now, right? But today I thought he was impressive. Six birdies. I know he had the bogey at 16, but he was as good as I've ever seen him to start a major lately.
Yes, and you know, he's watched Justin Thomas, who's a friend of his, win a major, and Jordan Spieth now win a handful. And he's watched Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, and half of Jupiter, Florida now has major championships. So it's getting harder and harder to stay patient. That's the sort of stuff that can really get in your head. But Ricky just keeps playing good golf. And everybody keeps saying the same thing, and this is not true. Everybody says if you keep giving yourself enough chances, you're going to win one. That is not true, and Ricky knows that that's not true, but he keeps giving himself chances anyway. It's better than not giving himself chances. I see Ricky as being extraordinarily patient at this point in his career.
Do you think that he's and that's a really good point. On top of it, how much do you think it messes with his head that instead of just, like, playing golf – and going out and you know, busting out rounds in these tournaments, that he's got everybody hounding him, when's he going to win a major? How much do you think it messes with his head when he's playing, or do you think he can actually vacuum that out of his mind?
That's a great question, Scott, and I don't know that anybody's got that answer. I think he blocks it out for the most part. I don't know how he does it, just simply because the results say that he does it. Just go back to what is currently the signature moment of his career, and that was his win at the Players' Championship. Well, earlier that week, I don't know if this is a real poll or not. I talked to plenty of players that say they've never been handed this anonymous survey, but one of the magazines put out their anonymous survey, supposedly of tour players, and Ricky was named the most overrated player on tour. And all he did was go – that came out on Tuesday, and all he did was go out and win the tournament on Sunday in very impressive fashion. So he's not really a chip-on-his-shoulder type of guy. He's grinding away. He's doing the best he can, and I hope that he gets one of these someday.
Brian Kadrick with us. I was talking last night going into it about Leishman and Webb Simpson and talking about how many top 10s that they've had this year, because I think they both played really solid golf. Now, Webb Simpson's a guy that won a major and then disappeared off the face of the earth. But this year, he looks like the golfer that was the guy that won a major, and he's in it as well. He's four back, but, I mean, he's still playing great golf, if you ask me. I know he's not the Gucci name, but...
Well, he's a heck of a pick. He actually won the Players' Championship this year. So while it's not a major, it actually qualifies him. Webb Simpson has now met the minimum criteria for the Hall of Fame, which is either a combination of two major championships, or you throw players in there. Webb was a victim of the putting ban, the anchored putting ban. He was a belly putter guy, and he would experiment with other longer versions of the putter.
Right.
And when they took away the anchored putting, it took Webb, and Keegan was the same way. Keegan Bradley, another one-time major champion. These guys took a while to adjust to it, and there are some guys that never did adjust to it. But both of them are playing better golf this year, and it's refreshing to see.
Tiger, Rory, Adam Scott, Bubba, Sergio, all at even. They can't be happy with that opening round.
Well, I don't know how Bubba felt about it, because I didn't see any of it. I know he was kind of up and down. Rory was up and down because he was in Tiger's group, and I walked with that group. I think Tiger's the happiest of the even par group. I don't know what else everybody did, but Tiger was three over through two. Sloppy trip down the 10th. That's a tough hole, and he was out of position the whole way, made five. Matter of fact, I think he made about an eight-footer for five.
Right.
And then he was even worse on 11. They're
going to short
11 at least once.
Right.
Yeah, he doubled it. They're going to make 11 drivable. He had sand wedge in his hands, and he had 25 feet left to the hole and hit it short and right into the water. I don't know how that shot even factored in. I saw the lie. It wasn't great, but it wasn't go to the water. It was aim left to the hole. And somehow just it all went wrong, and then he couldn't even make bogey from there. He was just really off to start. And when you're three over through two and you battle back and shoot even in a major championship, that's pretty good. So I bet you he feels pretty good about that 70.
I thought, tell everybody about who Gary Woodland is, because no one's ever heard of him. But that back nine, whatever, where he was just draining birdies. I think he had like four or five of them. He was on fire. Tell everybody who he is, what he's like, and why we've never heard of him.
Really cool guy. Won in Phoenix earlier this year, which was awful nice to see because he's very popular. Gary Woodland was a great athlete in high school and was an aspiring basketball player, and actually played some college basketball for the first, I think, year or two of his career, but just decided his future wasn't in basketball and decided he wanted to transfer to the University of Kansas, where, by the way, he wasn't going to play college basketball. He had tinkered with golf the whole time and was such a naturally talented athlete that he was able to play his way onto that team, and now he's a multiple PGA Tour winner, and he hits the ball forever. Gary Woodland is one of the longest players on the PGA Tour, and that certainly helped him out there today.
Yeah, no doubt. So a guy that's been playing really well lately, Kisner, he's right there with DJ. What do you think of Kevin Kisner, the way he's playing?
Well, Kevin Kisner is a grinder. So, and this is important because Kevin Kisner's not on that Ryder Cup team right now. He's been kind of the man left out of the picture. He's been close at major championships. He's been close on these international teams, and he would be a great team member. He was the captain of, I think it was 2005's University of Georgia national championship team. That was before Bubba was there, but he was the captain, and he's a quiet leader and just gritty and steely, and I think he'd be a great team member. But in order for the world to know that, you got to keep rattling the cages in events like this. And so it's he looks like he belongs up there.
Brooks Koepka still in this thing, five back, the way he has played at the U.S. Open. Can he do that over, the next 3 days?
Yes, he certainly can. Brooks got off to an awful start and battled back. That entire group was over par at the turn. He was playing in the major championship group with Francesco Molinari and Patrick Reed, and they were all three of them were awful, and they all battled back. So that was good to see. Brooks missed a lot of time. He missed a month and a half at the beginning of the season because of wrist, or beginning of this year because of wrist surgery. And I'm not sure it's exactly right. He says every once in a while it still comes out of the socket. And that's not a good thing, but he's a tough guy. He and Dustin Johnson are workout buddies down in South Florida, and they're workout fiends. And Dustin is a little bit taller and a little bit lankier, so he doesn't wear the muscle the way that, Brooks does. But Brooks looks like he could play linebacker. And he's got the mentality to play linebacker also. I don't think he's going away.
I think DJ is an incredible golfer. He's not into, like it seems to me, the media or anything like that. He does not look like he likes doing interviews. He does them, but he's just like, you know, let's just get this over with. But I really like watching him play golf, and he just crushes it. And I find him fun to watch golf. Don't like him off the course that much, the way he just kind of seems so bored with everything. I don't know, but maybe that's just him. Listen, I'm glad you're doing great, Brian. It's great having you back on the bench talking about the PGA Championship. Have a great time this weekend in St. Louis at the 100th PGA. I'm sure it'll be fantastic golf. Thanks for coming on the bench as always, brother.
You got it anytime, Scotty. Great to be with you.
My man, Brian Kadrick of PGA Radio on SiriusXM.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so I just wanted to see the end of that. Tampa ended up coming back and beating the Dolphins in the last minute. 26-24. Rick Haro, our sports business and legal insider on CBS Sports Radio. Were you at that game tonight?
I was at the whole game except for the last 2 minutes. So the Dolphins went all the way down with Bryce Petty, and then they played a combination of prevent defense, zone defense, playground, free agent, defensive back defense. And the Buccaneers came down and kicked a winning field goal at like 27 seconds left. By that time, there were maybe 18, 19 people in the stadium, and everybody was in the parking lot. So it was, you know, the only thing that happened is that Dolphins lost probably a reserve linebacker, Mike Hull, for a while. But compared to what happens in other teams around the league in first preseason games, having one guy injured is not great for him, but it's a victory, you know, in those preseason games.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you get through it with nobody hurt.
How hot was it at that game?
430 degrees, and the humidity was over 600%. You could actually see the humidity in front of you. It was the old Don Shula days where you spoke people out, but unfortunately, you know, he wasn't around. He was just, he doesn't go to these preseason games anymore, but it reminds us of what it's like to have Miami Dolphins.
Do you remember the...
Smoked out, but they played a team that's equally accustomed to this weather in Tampa. So it didn't matter in the fourth quarter.
All right, listen, do you remember when, I don't know if you're not hearing me or something, but do you remember when we sat at the game and the that fat, drunk lady was screaming behind us for 4 hours?
Yes. I remember a lot of the stuff we go to with people screaming. And
didn't I?
Remember when we were at the Orange Bowl when we
right.
felt some stuff on our back?
Right.
I don't know how you put it. On the air, but it wasn't beer.
Do you remember, like, this chick, I think I sent you pictures of her, giving me the finger when I was filming her, remember?
Yes, I remember that, too. But you have this ability to kind of instigate normal people and make them weird.
But I actually, we got along with them. We ended up getting along with the crazy lady, but she was the most painful thing I've ever listened to in my life at a football game.
Yeah. Well, but people giving you the finger is kind of a normal thing, right? But,
yeah.
But this was above the fray. Yeah, this was different.
Yeah, you're so right. The PGA Championship is in St. Louis for the first time in 26 years. The first thing, you're going to tell me about all the money they're going to make in the area, but tell me about this. Did you see that someone hacked the PGA's computers?
No. What happened?
So they, like, Carver, how do you know the details? Like, they hacked their database for the PGA Championship. Like the PGA runs a website for the tournament, and they hacked it, and then they went in and took control of it, literally seizing the website, and then they threatened that they wanted Bitcoin payment to unrelease the website that the PGA I don't think the PGA cooperated with him. I don't know. I just know it happened.
Was this the first cyber attack that Iran went through? Because remember, they are threatening to do cyber attacks for our sanctions. Because I heard that there was this vicious rumor that they hacked it and made Gary Woodland look like he's six under par, which couldn't happen.
They actually, but Gary Woodland, I was told tonight from Brian Kadrick at PGA Radio that he is a big bopper. That means he hits big ball. Like, he's one of the biggest hitters on tour, so he's leading. How much money will St. Louis make in that steamy weather there and there's no ocean?
$100 million of economic impact, which is kind of about the same that Quail Hollow did last year and Baltus Raw did the year before and Whistling Straits did the year before. And that 21,000 jobs or more are indirectly or directly related to the event. And by the way, they're predicting selling over 100,000 hats that are PGA logo hats because it's, 400 degrees there as well.
Right.
And one of the things they're doing is like the Masters. You know, when you go to the Masters, everybody's excited about buying some stuff at the store that you can't get online or anywhere else. So what the PGA has done is create shirts and hats that are exclusive to the pro shop there. Of course, they're raising the price of it, but if people say, I was there, I don't get a paper ticket anymore, I want something exclusive that says I was at that event, the PGA is giving it to them, or at least letting them spend a lot of money to buy it. So good for them.
Rick Horowitz, Urban Meyer's fate, what do you think happens to him?
Well, if he really did make some moves and he's got a paper trail that he turned him in, or at least made some noises to his bosses, then things change around. So I think we're going to know pretty quickly in the next week. He either acted to call him out and take care of it, or he didn't. If he didn't, then I don't quite understand how he stays. But I guess we'll see. The bottom line is Ohio State is always the top two or three revenue producer. Remember, they got their big deal with Fanatics, and they got their big deal with Nike. Both of them are all sports related, but remember, football dominates at Ohio State, and they've been through this with Jim Tressel a few years ago. Not the same kind of thing, but they're used to controversy.
Power Sports, are you, did you, or are you going to be interviewing Nick Saban?
We did it, and it's actually on the air right now on all the Fox affiliates. And he's really good because he doesn't just talk about the quarterback controversy and, all of his stuff, but he talks about his dad and how his dad was a Pop Warner coach. And his dad picked up all of the kids in West Virginia and took them to practice, put all the sayings on the bus. It's really kind of quite interesting, and it's on all of the Fox regionals, including YES Network in New York, and it's running about 100 times in August, so watch it.
Congratulations. Good for you. NBA and MGM, what do you think of their deal with the casino magnate?
Let me tell you why I think it's so good. Because remember weeks ago when the Supreme Court said he can do this, all the states were ready to jump in and legalize. Well, some have and some haven't, but the leagues were trying to figure out how to get some money. They're not going to get it from the states because the states want to use it for schools and roads and libraries and all that stuff. They're not going to get it from the casino operators generally unless they cut a marketing deal, and that's what this is. This is kind of a marketing deal driven by the fact that the data is pretty unique. And the MGM guy even said, we're going to get the data exclusively from the NBA. Well, they start doing this before anybody else does. I wouldn't be surprised if other leagues follow very quickly with respective casinos. And this is the first time there's really a structure for getting the money. So good for them.
So Seattle, how close are they to getting the NBA and NHL there?
Well, they've still got a lot of arena stuff to go, and the mayor's had some problems, and they still got to finish the financing. And this is one of those rare things where if they get the arena, Gary Bettman wants to put a hockey team in there, and they want to bring the Sonics back in some case. So it may go from no winter sports to two winter sports very quickly if they've got the arena. Plus, Microsoft and Boeing and Starbucks and all those big corporate dollars are in Seattle. So it's not a lock that they'll get both teams quickly, but it is pretty probable.
Rick, the A's are still struggling to get a plan in place for a stadium.
Well, yeah, because all the sites have political opposition, and people realize how difficult it is to do. And it's not just the financing, but it's the location. Jack London Square hadn't worked. Laney College hadn't worked. They're trying to get other deals done. And remember, Tampa and Oakland are the only two teams in baseball that are having any issues with stadiums, but that doesn't make it easier. They still got to get it done.
The Tech Top 5, tell me about the robot chef at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, how about the Dodger dog, and how about some of the other stuff that they're doing? And it's a play to get more concessions, automated, kind of cute, another way to generate some income. And the Dodgers and Peter Guber and Mark Walter and all of the people that are putting the Dodgers together, Stan Kasten, have an understanding that concessions are very important at Dodger Stadium. This is just another way to make some money.
Power of Sports 5. Tell me about what you think of LeBron's Promise School, Derrick Rose's scholarship fund, and Sid Crosby donating to the Special Olympics.
All three really important. The LeBron, they're all putting their money where their mouth is. And in these days where everybody's talking about athletes and role models and all, these are guys who are really doing stuff. And to get into Twitter wars with somebody that really doesn't deserve to have conversations about whether athletes are smart or not, it's just, I would rather focus on all the good stuff that's happening, and those are three good examples.
All right, Rick, glad you got to go see the Dolphins lose like they'll be doing all season. And I appreciate all the skinny on Sports Business for the week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the PGA Championship. Obviously, I don't think you're pulling for Woodland.
Not pulling for Woodland. Pulling for my buddy Justin Thomas or Ricky Fowler, and then going to the Just Don't Suck tournament with Joe Maddon on Monday with the Cubs, and then a tournament in Indy. So I'll call you next week from Indy.
Wow, that's awesome. All right, Rick, have a great weekend.
All right, see you next week.
There he is, Rick Haro. You can see him on the Nick Saban special on Fox affiliates. That he did with the Power of Sports interviewing Nick Saban. A sit-down with Nick. Hope he caught him on a good day. You never know what kind of mood Nick's going to be in. If he needs something, he's the nicest guy in the world. But if he's not in a good mood, it can be dangerous.
I'm sure he was, because it sounds like it really wasn't about football. So I'm sure that Nick had something to probably...
It was about charities and the
exactly. Like. He had other agendas that he talked about, so he, big smiles and happy faces for him.
So the Ravens blew out the Rams 33-7. The Packers are up a touchdown with the ball. 4 minutes left at Lambeau on the Titans 17-10. Texans 17-10 on the Chiefs with 9.5 to go at Arrowhead. Cowboys up 7-0 on the Niners. I'm watching Jimmy Porno running the Niner offense. And the Seahawks lead the Colts. Luck is thrown for 64 yards. Seahawks 7-6, as I mentioned. Everything else, final. We'll talk about those. Your team. Call and talk about your team tonight, college or pro, on the bench.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.